Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Come on, man. Well, I'm excited that you're here today. All the junior hires are free to go to their class. I know we got a great one planned for them. And we got something great planned for in here today as well. Turn to your Bibles this morning, if you would, to an Old Testament book. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. This is the book that we were in last week as we kicked off our series, Dream Again. And if you weren't here for the start of that series, you did not miss out because you can catch that online. And so you can do that by downloading our app or going to the website, and all of our messages are posted there and you can catch up if you happen to miss last week. But we're going to pick up where we left off last week because I didn't get through all of my message. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week and jump into this idea of dream again. I believe that this idea of dream again is not just a message for us in a series. I believe that this is going to be really a theme for 2018, that we're going to see many dreams come to pass, that this is a year for you. And so as I'm speaking, whether it be today, whether it be through this series, when I talk about, man, big things for Canvas Church, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about all of you sitting in here, right? Because Canvas Church is not a building. It's not a theater. It's not what takes place here on Sunday mornings. Canvas Church is you, and it's the incredible people that make it what it is. And so just know that as I'm talking about dreaming again for Canvas Church, I'm talking about your dream. I'm talking about what God's doing inside of you, and I believe he's going to do something awesome in and through your life and for you in 2018. Because here's the reality. All of us have dreams. All of us have had dreams. But it seems like as we grow up, that life just has a way of beating those dreams out of us a little bit. And, you know, whether dreams just don't come to pass, dreams don't come true, we hit some challenges in life, and all of a sudden we can find ourselves stopped dreaming. But I believe that in spite of all of that, God is calling us in 2018 to begin to dream again and dream some big dreams. And so we started out this series right here in 2 Kings chapter 4, in verses 8 through 17. Because this is a passage that has spoken to me so many times over the last many years. And so I want to share it with you. And we're going to take some time. We're going to take the next 8, 9, 10 weeks and just go through it. And the story just kind of keeps building and getting better and better and better. And so let's just dive in here. 2 Kings chapter 4 and see what's taking place. You can take me out of this monitor right here. It is just creating some weird noise up here. 2 Kings chapter 4. Starting in verse 8, and there's several key people in this passage. One is Elisha. He's the man of God. He's a Old Testament prophet, and he doesn't just carry a message from the God to the people. He also carries the presence of God with him. And then key players really are the Shunammite woman, which we're going to read about. This is the woman where, man, it looks like her dream has died. It's over. It's not going to resurrect, but God does some miraculous things, and we're going to see the son, and then Gehazi, who is Elisha's servant as well. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm still coming through up here. It's sounding really funky. If you can kill me on the monitor, it'd be great. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, one day Elisha went to Shunem. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Then he said to her husband, I know that the one who is often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let us make a small room. And I want to just highlight this because some things popped off the page here to me in the first service that weren't in the notes. And so just highlight this verse right here in your mind and we'll come back to it. I want you to take notice what she does and what she fills the room with. And she says, let us make a room upstairs and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp there for him. Whenever he comes, he can stay there. And one day he came there and stopped and went to the room upstairs to lie down. He ordered his attendant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and stood before him. Then he said to Gehazi, say to her, look, you have done all of this, gone to all this trouble for us. What can be done for you? Can we speak to you on behalf of the king or the commander of the army? And she answered, I'm living among my own people. In other words, I'm good. Don't worry about it. I don't need anything. I'm living life. I'm in maintain mode. Things are good. So he asked them, what should be done for her? And Gehazi answered, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Now, I just want to pause there and highlight this as I did last weekend. This is important to understand for this whole entire series, this whole entire message. Because back then, not to have a son, she may have other children, but she has no son. And not to have a son meant that there was no one as a woman if my husband, because notice it says her husband's old, there's no one there to carry on the family lineage. Not only is there no one to carry on the family lineage, as a woman, there's no one there to protect you and care for you and provide for you, okay? So for her, that meant when her husband's old and he's going to die, that means, man, I guess I got no one to carry on, I got no one to care for me and protect me, all right? And so this is an important thing to have, but here, she doesn't have it, okay? Are you with me? So it's important to understand the whole entire story. Call her, Elisha said. So Gehazi called her, and she stood at the doorway. And Elisha said, at this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. Now listen to her response. Then she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not deceive your servant. Okay, in other words, she had a response, a moment of pain, where all of a sudden now Elisha is touching on something that meant something to her in the past. She's now reconciled the fact that she's not going to have a son. And remember, the last thing she said is, I'm good, I don't need anything. So she's come to a place where she has written that off. She's content, I don't need a son. But now when the word of the Lord comes and speaks through Elisha, it begins to touch an area of her life that was painful to her, or something that she really wanted. And here Elisha says, it's going to happen. Okay, now when he says that, he's not just talking about a son. Something needs to happen inside of her to begin to see this son comes to pass, and that is she needs to begin to dream again. She needs to begin to put action to this thing. And she had written this thing out. She said, no, don't lie to me. Don't do this to me. I've reconciled that. Verse 17. Come on, whatever God says is going to come to pass. And the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at that same time the following year, as Elisha had promised her. I believe that 2018 is a year where God is going to bring back to life the dreams that are in your heart, and you're going to see them come to pass. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments we have together, that God, we would just dive into this text as a community and begin to pull some things out that apply to our lives, that in 2018, God, would be an incredible year of dreaming and an incredible year of seeing those dreams come to pass. In your mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you guys in here have ever moved before? Like physical move, you've packed a U-Haul, a box. Is there anybody in here that's just a little bit different and loves moving? Somebody does. All right, come see me after the service. Me and my wife are in the middle of a move right now. And we're moving tomorrow, actually, so I saw that hand. I will hunt you down, and I will find you. We don't want to make you a liar here. You're in church, all right? So, we are in the middle of a move, and you know, when you first start out in life, like I remember when I was in college, and before, you know, I lived in my parents' house, and I had a 10 by 10 room. I had 100 square feet of stuff, right? I mean, that's it. So to move that to college, not a big deal, right? You could pretty much throw everything you own in a truck and just drive it there and set it up, and you're good to go, like in an hour and a half, right? But then all of a sudden you get out of college and you get your first apartment, right? And as soon as you get that apartment, you have all of your bedroom stuff, but then now you need to get living room furniture, right? And you begin to fill all of the extra space and get stuff for your bathroom, begin to set it up, and all of a sudden what seemed like a mansion to you, that one bedroom, one bath, feels small for some reason because you got a puppy. Come on, somebody, right? And so now you think you need some more space, so you graduate to a two-bedroom, two-bath, only to realize that now I have another bedroom to fill and another bathroom to fill, and then all of a sudden you meet somebody. Come on, does anybody in here want to meet somebody? Nobody? All right, well, that was your chance. That was your opportunity. It's over now. And, you know, you meet somebody, you get married, and now you got to move all of your stuff together, right? And it's like, we need more space. And then you start having kids, and now you need more space. And it seems like every time you get more space, you just find a way to fill it. Are you with me? Me and my wife discovered that about 4.5, 5 years ago as we moved from a home that we were living in to the North County area to this big, beautiful home that God miraculously provided for us. We are actually now in the middle of moving out of that and downsizing for a season. And there's one thing I discovered. It's 3/4 acre lot. It's a massive house that we have a lot of junk. Are you with me? One thing that you learn when you move is that you're a hoarder. You might not think you are, and you might be in denial. Move. You will discover you are a hoarder, all right? And I think I live with a family of hoarders, man. Like, we are trying to pack this thing up, and man, it's like we are going through every nook and cranny and stuff, and it's like, I don't even know where some of this stuff came from. I think some of you visited me at my house and just dropped stuff and left it. Like, where did that dresser come from? I don't know. And it's full of clothes, right? I don't know where this stuff comes from. And, you know, and then on top of the stuff that's in the house, we live on this big lot. And so yesterday, I'm getting it ready for the next person that's moving into it. And I literally, like, all day long was walking around the lot just picking up junk. I'm like, why did we even keep this? You know? Because, like, when you live in a smaller place, you just get rid of it because you have to, right? I got no place for it. When you live on land, it's like, oh, it looks like a good spot. And pretty soon, you look like a junkyard. Are you with me? So that was my confession for the day. I am a hoarder, okay? But, you know, it just seems that the minute you create room or get more room, you want to fill the space. And I believe the same is true when it comes to our spiritual walk. That if we want to see more of God fill our lives, we've got to create more space for him. We've got to create more room for him. And I guarantee you, if we would begin to create more space and more room for him, he would begin to fill every nook and cranny of your life. See, the thing is, some of us say, you know, I'm just not experiencing God. I'm not feeling God. I don't sense God in my life. Listen to me. It's not a God problem. It's always an us problem. It is never a God problem. It is always an us problem. And in those moments, I would encourage you, if you feel like you're in a place where I just don't feel God's moving in my life, I don't feel like I'm hearing from him, I don't just sense his presence in my life, you know what you need to do? You need to move out of that one bedroom, one bath, and you need to move into a two bedroom, two bath. And you need to begin to create some more space for God to come in and begin to fill your life. One of the things that I absolutely love about this story is we begin to look at the idea of dream again. And we talked about it last week, is although the woman stopped believing in her dream, she never stopped believing in the dream giver. She continued to believe in the dream giver. The Bible says that she recognized Elisha as a holy man of God. Now, this is a prophet in the Old Testament. Once again, you got to understand, prophets in the Old Testament were not just ones that got messages from God and began to deliver the message to the people. It was so much more than that. There was an anointing and a mantle on their life that they literally carried the presence of God with them. And she recognized this, that this is Elisha, man. This is a holy man of God. There's something on him. And there was a moment in her life where she was like, you know what? I'm not happy just with him coming in and having a meal. Did you read the story? They would provide a meal. He would come in, have a meal, and then he'd be on his way. She goes to her husband and says something. She says, here's what I want to do. I want to build a room. I want to create some space. I want to make that so whenever he comes, he doesn't just stop and eat, but he stops and he stays. What about you in 2018? When it comes to this idea of us dreaming again, have you become content with just the regular passing by? Have you become content with, man, Sunday morning, get my hit, it's awesome, it's on. Man, small group is really good. Or is there something in you that says, God, I know you got something more for my life. God, I know that you got something big for me in 2018, and I'm going to dream, and I'm going to see those dreams. But in order for me to do that, maybe I have to build myself an upper room. Maybe I have to create more room in my life. But I love it. She doesn't just build the room. She begins to fill it. She begins to put something inside of it. Because it's not just enough for her to say, okay, there's a space for you, but I want to enchant and entreat the presence of God. And it was in this moment, ladies and gentlemen, we touched on a little bit last week, but it's in this moment, this place of creating this upper room, this space for him to move, that, man, everything begins to change. Man, that God begins to speak to that dead place in her life. Not only that, it was actually at the doorway. The Bible says it was the threshold of the room. She's standing at the threshold, the doorway, and there is God, and there she is, and God begins to speak through Elisha to her. What once was a dream that you just had, which once was a dream that is now dead, seemingly, God begins to say, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. And I believe that 2018 is your time, our time, Canvas Church. I believe that 2018, there's a reason why God connects who he connects. There's a reason why God brings who he brings. The Bible says he's building his church, and he's using you, and he's bringing you because you have something unique, something on your life that connects with something here and somebody else here, and all of a sudden now the dream of Canvas begins to grow. Are you with me this morning? But yet some of us, those dreams are dead. But I believe 2018, God is speaking to those things that you have not yet seen as though they are, and they're going to come to life. Are you with me this morning? Because you know what? One of the worst things I think in life is, let me just read it to you here. And the first point was this last week, and it was, you know, to see dream, to be able to dream again, we got to stay connected with God. That was last week's point. We didn't get to the other ones, which we'll get to today. Stay connected with God. Why do we want to stay connected with God? Because God speaks through visions and dreams. His language is dreams. We talked about that, but there's this one quote I didn't get to. I want to share it with you. I think it's so powerful. Henry Ford said it. He said, a poor man is not the man without a cent. A poor man is the one without a dream. A poor man is not the one without any money. No, the poor man is the one without a dream. And here's the thing about dreams. I already said a little bit, but what happens is as we go through life, it seems like those dreams could get crushed. Or maybe we begin to think, well, that was me when I was little. That is silly. And we begin to graduate or grow out of our dreams. Or this is one of the worst things I think that's happens to us as a people of God. Is we can get to the place that this woman did, and thank God she never stopped believing in the dream giver. But we can get to the place this woman did and just say, you know, it's never going to happen. And so what happens is this, and you got to see this. What happens to us so oftentimes in life is something devastating happens. Something crushes that dream, and so we stop dreaming. But what happens is we think we're still dreaming. And we think that this level of what we're doing is the dream. And we become maintainers of something rather than visionaries and dreamers and ones that are going after the things of God and what God wants to do. Here's what happens. I was a psychology major and I studied this out over time. What happens is this, as you begin, that something devastating happens, the pendulum swings. And you live in this moment. What happens is this moment becomes normal to you. Where normal is over here. But because of something that happened in your life, the pendulum swung and it's over here and you stayed in that moment. So now this begins to feel normal and this is life as you know it. And so you're over here and you're living life. When everybody else looking from the outside in is like, you need help. And listen to me, every single one of us goes through it. We all do. And it becomes normal to us. And so that's why you can be in conversation with somebody about what really is normal. And they're all the way over here. And you can walk away from that conversation being like, they think everything's okay. Like this happens all the time when I work with people in their marriages. Like they'll sit down, they'll say, well, you know how marriage is. And they'll describe marriage. And it's like, I'm like, oh, that ain't marriage. That's like a mess. That's mildly. And the thing is, it becomes normal to them. And they just live there. Right? And so then they just, right? And what happens sometimes is they get back to normal, what really is normal, but it feels so off to us because this has become our norm. And that's why you see people going like this. Somebody with me this morning? Okay? But what God wants us to do is God wants us to be here, but he wants us to go from faith to faith, glory to glory, here a little, there a little. He wants us to continue to grow. But the problem with some of us, we're stuck over here, and all of a sudden we get to normal, like, whoa, something doesn't feel right. And here's what happens. It's self-inflicted wounds. And so all of a sudden we'll do something. This doesn't feel right, and so we'll do something. Get back here like, I know this is dysfunction, but it feels so good. It's getting quiet. God doesn't want you to live there. God wants you to dream again. God wants you to dream big dreams for his kingdom, for your life, for your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your business, whatever it is. In order to dream again, number one, you got to stay connected with God. Number two, and this we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Number two, you got to start with what you have. Start with what you have. Listen, when the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, to this woman, hey, this time next year, you're going to have a child. What does she do? She immediately responds out of pain, and I want you to know something, that's okay. God is not afraid of your pain. He is not afraid of your discomfort. He's not afraid of the things that you are dealing with and going through. I love her response because it's one of honesty. It's one of transparency. It's one that says, hey, you're touching on something right now that I don't want to touch on. This is painful. And she starts with where she's at. She's honest with the pain. She's honest with the moment. And I think one of the worst things that we can do as people of God, as Christians, as those that are pursuing God, is just cover up stuff that's in our life. Mask the pain. Mask the difficulty. That's the worst thing we could do. We've got to be able to be a part of a community. That's why small groups are so valuable and so important. Small groups are so valuable because it gives us a place of safety where we can say, hey, here's what I'm going through. Here's what's happening in my life. And we can open up, because the worst thing we can do is just mask that thing. Matter of fact, I believe that's where we continue to move towards dysfunction and away from dreaming again. Are you with me this morning? We've got to be honest with where we're at. And this woman was honest with her pain. She was honest with her stuff. And we've got to be willing to be honest with where we're at, what we're walking through. Let me pull up this picture. This is my daughter, Faith. Isn't she beautiful? All my kids are. Thank God for their mother. And the reason she's holding up that 3 and she has that cast on is because this is the third time she broke her arm. And I think she might have just turned 12 or she was 11. Third time she broke her arm, and she broke it playing basketball all 3 times. And I'm like, can't you pick an easier sport like bull riding? Come on, somebody, right? So she's holding it up, and here's the thing. Man, this child, man, she broke her arm, and every time, all 3 times, she plays basketball year-round. She's on a club team, and all 3 times, she chose on her own, said, Dad, would you take me to practice? And she went to practice for 3-4 months without even being able to play, just sitting there watching, learning, maybe dribbling with her left because it was usually her right she broke. All of a sudden came time to take that cast off, and they cleared her to play. And she got on the court, and something we noticed right away, she wasn't aggressive, she wasn't tenacious, she just kind of held back a little bit. She played timidly. And she noticed it. But come on, after 3 times of breaking her arm playing basketball. And we noticed it. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't say, Faith, what's wrong with you? I mean, come on, child, cast this off. Get back in there. You know how to play. Go after it. Now, I might have been thinking that. But you know what we did? We took where she's at. And we realized, you know what? If I broke my arm 3 times playing basketball, I might be a little timid as well. Can I tell you something about Canvas Church? Canvas Church is not a place that takes what you've walked through lightly. We believe for greater. We believe there's more. We believe you can dream bigger. But listen to me. As you begin to step out and you begin to dream again, this is going to happen. There'll be moments of timidity. There'll be moments of fear. There'll be moments of holding back. There'll be moments of like, I'm not sure. I ministered at my last church. And you know what? I got burnt there. I did this at this place, and that didn't work out so well. What about relationships? Jumping back into a relationship. Can we be honest? There's going to be moments of timidity. There's going to be moments of pain. There's going to be some stuff we got to be honest about and talk through. But listen to me. When you begin to dream again, in 2018, God is not afraid of that. God is saying, hey, just be open, be transparent, start with where you're at, and it's okay to walk through the process. Are you with me? It's okay to walk through the process. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says 1 year later, at that time, she was holding the dream. It was in her arms. It took 12 months to finally get there. For some of us, it's longer than 12 months. Listen to me. The problem is that we all love the dreaming part, and we all love the obtaining part. It's the in-between season that we don't like. Right? Like, oh, I love the idea. Dream again. Yes, Pastor, I'm going to dream again. Right? But even in that, it's a little bit painful, right? Like, the idea comes, dream again. I mean, here we are, 2018. Pastor Ben got a great message for Canvas Church. 2008, let's dream again. And you're like, yeah, well, 2017 was dreaming again as well. And I was dreaming again for 2016. 2015, I had some high hopes. That didn't happen. 2014, that was supposed to be my year. I was at another church. And they were like, this is the year of favor. I didn't see no favor. Right? Let's be real, right? I mean, every single one of us on December 31st are probably, if we're not writing it down, we're at least thinking about it, right? Like, all right, this is the year that I'm going to see this, this, and this. And you write it out. This is going to be my year. And all of a sudden, it's the end of the year, and you're like, none of that stuff happened. All you do is copy and paste it for the next year. Right? Be honest with that. Be honest. As we dive into Dream Again, like, oh, this is a great. Thanks for pumping us up, Pastor Ben. Thanks for Dan. This awesome, pump me up, feel good message. But you know what? I believe this for 17 and 16 and 15 and 14. Be honest with that. But I love that, listen, this woman starteth where she's at. Remember, the Bible said her husband old. She had to do something with that promise. Are you with me? The Bible said she had to put feet to it. I think the problem is that some of us, yeah, dream again. We're going to do this. And we think about it, but no, you got to put feet to it. And she had to put feet to it. She started with where she was at. But you cannot despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the starting point. Man, with my daughter, man, I love the fact that she got back on and she's like, Dad, I'm going to go for it. And it was difficult. Because all of a sudden now her friends are at this level and she's back here because she couldn't practice for a while. So she had to play catch up only to literally get back to where she was at, starting point guard on the team, first practice, breaks her arm again. Me and my wife, honestly, we talked, said she's probably not going to play again. Not because we didn't want her to. I did that three times. And to see that fight in her to want to come back, and she just started where she's at, you just need to get back in the saddle. And it starts with small things. Listen to this verse in Zechariah 4:10. It says, do not despise these small beginnings. Listen to this part. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. What's that part? That's the work part. We rejoice in the dreaming part. We rejoice in the fulfillment of the dream. That's the parts we like. What part does God like? The process. You see it right there? See, we think God always rejoices in the results. No, he rejoices in the process. Hey, get the plumb line out. Hey, get to work. No, God, can we go back to that dreaming part? I like that part. Because in order for me to dream, I'm in a place of rest. I like the rest part. I don't know if I like the work part. Or God, can we just skip the plumb line? Come on, somebody. Can we just subcontract all that out? Right? Like, drew up the plans, love them, can't wait to move in. But hey, you guys, could you guys go ahead and build that for me? But God's like, no. This is the part I love. And you know what? We miss so much if we fast forward through those moments. For 12 months. I don't know. I mean, this baby's growing inside of her. This son's happening. I mean, what's going through her mind? Like, dude was right. Right? And then boom. But stay for the rest of the series because the story gets better. But we're not going there today. You got to start with where you're at, what you have. Start with where you're at, what you have. And that's the thing, is where are you at? What do you have? Don't look at what somebody else has. Oh, man, if I had what they had, then I could probably see. Now, what do you have? And just start with where you're at. You with me this morning? And then thirdly, finishing off the opening message, dream again. Make room for him. Make room for God. Make room for God. I mean, think about it. I talked about it at the very beginning of the message. I guarantee you, every single one of us, when we move to something bigger, it happens with our paychecks as well. Everybody prays for a pay raise. I need a pay raise. And all of a sudden, you get the pay raise, and you find a way to spend it all and have more bills. Right? We do it all the time. Like, oh, if I only made $1,000 more a month, then I'll be able to pay my bills. And then you get the $1,000 more a month. What do? Go buy a new car. Move into a bigger home. That's what we do, right? Like, we find a way to fill that. And it happens all the time. Happens when we move and we get more space. You can't just let a bare room be there. It's like, oh, what are we going to do with that? Well, why did you get it? Well, we needed it. Why? We're going to put stuff in it. What stuff? The stuff I'm going to buy. Well, when are you going to buy it? When I get the pay raise. But for now, what I'll do is I'll just put on a credit card. That's a different message. I love what she does. She makes room for God. And I believe that in 2000, that's why we're in this 21 days of prayer and fasting right now. And here's the thing. If you haven't jumped in yet, it's okay. We just finished the first 7 days. We still got 14 days left. Come on, somebody. Right? If you want to go full 21, glory to God. Go for it. While you're on the last 7, I'll be eating steak. Come on, somebody. But you can jump in right now and begin to make room for God. Make room. But Pastor, why do you keep talking about making room for God? Because I believe, just like with the house, as we begin to expand and we begin to open up and we begin to allow God to fill those places, man, we're going to hear his voice. We're going to know what he's saying. We're going to know what he's speaking. Man, he fills our life and we begin to move into a new place with him. I believe that. Now, listen to me. Here's the problem sometimes with praying and fasting. I've heard other people talk about it. Like, if I only pray and fast, then God will do. You got to know something. You can never make God move in your life. Right? Prayer and fasting is not a magic wand that if I just pray and fast, God then will do. It's not a magic wand. And I've seen some people even treat their spiritual journey this way. That, man, if I really want God to do something in my life, I should probably pray more. I should read my Bible more. I should stop doing some of those things I know I shouldn't be doing. I should go to church. Wow. You're the people sitting in church. I couldn't even get anything out of it. Man, maybe I'll double dip and go to both services because then God will really like me. God won't like anymore. I will, but God won't. Oh, no, if I really want God to do something for me, I should probably serve and become a part of the ministry team. I mean, I saw it on the news. They're talking about a time of refresh. I want to go to that. Well, jump on the ministry team. And see, we have this thought in our mind that if I do more for God, then God will like me more, and then maybe he'll do something for me. Listen to me, that is not the truth. God loves you the same as today as he will tomorrow. God loves you. It's not going to change. Listen to me, we can never make God move, but what we can do is make room in our life for God to move. There is a big difference. So when we're going through 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're not trying to get God to do something. God, see us. I haven't eaten. And God's like, eat. Right? No. The whole point of prayer and fasting is for us to say no to some of the fleshly, Pastor Brandon mentioned, some of the fleshly appetites and fleshly things, and use that time to just press into God and begin to build that relationship of intimacy, and we get closer to him. Listen, man, he may not do anything different in your life, but I will guarantee you that you will walk away hearing God's voice more clearly. You will see the plan and the direction that he has for your life. But listen to me, if you're going into these things thinking, man, I'm going to do this and God's going to do this. No. I'm going into this saying, God, here's a big living room for you. Would you fill it with your presence? And I love what she does. She makes room for God to move. That's all he's asking is, would you just create space for me? As the worship team comes and we begin to bring the service to a close, would you just create space for me? Because you know what? The place you're in now, it's too small. The place you're at now, it's the one bedroom, the one bath, it's filled. God's saying, I got more for you, son and daughter. I want to be with you. Would you just open up? And I believe the greatest way that we make room in our life for God to move is through prayer. I really do. I mean, there's a reason why we see Jesus in the New Testament doing it. The Bible says that Jesus would often withdraw, get alone by himself, and begin to pray. And he began to connect with his Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. Make more room for God. Pastor, how did that, the prayer? What does prayer look like? I've talked about it before, it's just you having a conversation with him. But you know, as I was in the first service and I was reading through this, and some of these things have popped off the page to me before, but this woman creates an upper room. You know, there's something special in the Bible about the upper room. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and 2 in the New Testament, Jesus looks at his disciples. He's about ready to go to heaven. He looks at his disciples and he says, hey, I want you guys to go and wait for the gift, talking about the Holy Spirit was going to come. And you know what they did? They got together. The Bible says they went to an upper room. You know what they did in the upper room? They began to pray. 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 Don't anybody preach it? Jeff wasn't there on the guitar. Kaylee wasn't there on the piano. I would have been cool though. They're just praying, the Bible says. In that moment of just praying in the upper room, Holy Spirit comes. The promise comes. In the upper room. Something so powerful about the upper room. I don't know why 2 Kings chapter 4, maybe that's the only space they had available. But she knew to build an upper room. But it hit me this morning, she doesn't just build the room, she actually fills it with stuff. And the Bible mentions 4 specific pieces of furniture. And it just began to speak to me. Now this isn't me being like diving in deep theology and all that stuff. This is just, wow, God, this kind of speaks to me in this way. I'm going to share. Can I share it with you real quickly? Because I believe it can enhance your prayer life, teach you a position of prayer on what's taking place in prayer. The Bible says that she builds the upper room and then she fills it. The first piece of furniture that's mentioned is the bed. The bed is a place of rest and of intimacy. She says, I'm going to give a bed. I'm going to fill that upper room with the bed, a place of rest and intimacy. I believe that when we go into our prayer times, the very first thing that God wants to do in you is to take you away from the busyness of your life and give you rest. He wants to give you rest. It even says in the New Testament, Jesus says, hey, come unto me, all of you, and I'm going to give you rest. One of the most famous Psalms of all time. It says that he leads me beside still waters. I love the next part. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Notice the word choice. It doesn't say he presents to me a green pasture where I can lie down. It says he makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, this is so good. And the reason, listen to me now, the reason he wants to make you lie down in green pastures, it's the same reason that Jesus said in the New Testament, come to me, I'm going to give you rest. Oh, this is so good. See, some of you, the problem isn't that you've stopped dreaming. The problem is you've stopped resting. And it's not until you're in a place of rest that you can begin to dream again. He wants to take you to a place of rest. You're so busy. You're so caught up. You got all these details and all these things on your plate and you're spinning a mini plate. I got to do this and I got to get this appointment, make this happen. And I got kids and I got this. And should I be here or should I be there? And he's saying, stop. You can't dream because you're not resting. And the first thing the woman puts up there is a bed. It's a place of rest. And he wants to make you. The reason he has to make us is because we won't choose it on our own. We're so caught up in doing and activity. He says, son, daughter, just rest. Because when you get to a place of rest, he can take you to a place of intimacy. So I'll put a bed up there, a place of rest and a place of intimacy. And in your prayer time, if it is just chatter, he's saying, stop. Come to a place of rest so we can be intimate once again. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have these deep, meaningful dialogues where he begins to show you his grace and his love and his mercy and the plan that he has for your life. She said, I'll put a table up there. First piece of furniture is the bed. The second one's the table. Now, the table is so significant. Because he presents the bed and he makes us lie down and he wants to give us rest. But the table's significant because the table is a place of breaking bread. The table is a place where we commune with one another. See, back in these days, what happened was is they would establish covenants with people. So a covenant would be established. Hey, we're not going to fight anymore. We're not going to feud anymore. Or we're going to get along with one another. And they would make a covenant. And at the covenant, they would say, okay, here's who I am. Here's who you are. And this is what we're going to do. And this is how this thing's going to work. That's the covenant. And the way they would actually seal the covenant is they would sit down and they'd have a big meal together. Everyone involved in the covenant, big table. They'd break bread and they would eat with one another, thus sealing the covenant agreement. That's why in the New Testament, when Jesus, right before he goes to the cross, he says, hey, I'm going to establish a new covenant. See, covenants is the way he speaks. That's why we have the Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, all wrapped around 8 major covenants in the Bible. The New Covenant comes along, and what does Jesus do? He uses language they understand. They're all sitting at a table. He says, hey, this is the New Covenant that I'm going to establish in me. And he breaks the bread. They share it. What are they doing? They're saying, hey, I'm a part of this covenant. I'm in covenantal agreement. Let it be so. She puts a table up there. It's a place of covenant. Prayer is a place of covenant. It's us coming under saying, God, thank you for providing your son Jesus. And now as I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm praying in Jesus' name to God the Father. I'm in covenant agreement. She doesn't just put a bed and a table there. Bible says she put a chair there. Chair. The chair is a place of authority. It's over sitting in the chair at the head of the table. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. What is he doing? He's living to make intercession for us. She puts a chair up there. And in that place of prayer, we're surrendering authority to him. God, that's you, man. You're in control. This is the life I live is not my own. It's your life. It's your life. It's your life. It's your life. And lastly, the Bible says that she puts a lamp there, and I love this one. I love this because here's the thing, at the end of it all, at the place of rest, the place of intimacy, the place of covenant with God, and the place of saying, God, you have full authority. Listen to me. God is going to continue to work off of this right here. His word, his one and only word. And the Bible says his word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I believe in those places of prayer that God will begin to take the lamp and the light of his word and begin to illuminate it to you. And you have greater depth and greater understanding of how you ought to walk out your life and how you ought to walk out the dream that he's put in your heart. I believe that in 2018, as we continue our time of prayer and fasting, come on, church, God is going to begin to take us to a place of intimacy, a place of rest, a place where he's in control. And he begins to continue to allow the dreams to come alive inside of each and every one of us. And you've got to know this. God did not bring you here by mistake. God did not bring you here by accident. He brought you here so that the dream that's in your heart could connect with the dream that's in their heart, could connect with the dream that's in Canvas's heart, and that together as we dream these big dreams for God's kingdoms, come on, something amazing is going to happen. Come on, this theater won't be big enough to hold. Come on, the harvest that God has coming in. Come on, 2 services won't be enough to hold the harvest that God has coming in. Come on, let's begin to dream together. Together and connect your dream with their dream, with my dream, with the dream that God has for Canvas. And as we begin to get to a place of prayer, of rest, of intimacy, of allowing God to have authority, I believe that God dream is going to continue to grow inside of you and begin to blossom. And it's going to be more beautiful and more vibrant. Hallelujah. Just stand on your feet as we close out the service, man.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.